on with us. If you're worshiping with us as a visitor today, we're glad you've come to be with us, and hope you'll take opportunities in the future to come back and be with us again. Before I begin this morning, I'd like to thank all the brethren here for the many thoughts and messages and most of all prayers on behalf of Dad this past week. Things are looking like they're getting better for him, and it's going to be a long road ahead of us for him. But there is reason for optimism, so we would really appreciate you to continue to pray that we'll continue to see those good results from him. I'd also like to take a moment to thank everyone for their efforts for Vacation Bible School. Unfortunately, with everything going on, I was only able to be here a couple of times for that, but saw a lot of great things. A lot of the kids were really excited, and that's always great to see when the kids are excited about learning about the Lord. And so all the teachers and all the efforts that went into that, not only during the Vacation Bible School, but the day before in preparing and getting everything set up, it was certainly a great thing to see. And so great encouragement, I think, for us all. I noticed Wilson posted on Facebook that he was tired, but it was a good tired, and I think that's probably how a lot of people are feeling today. If you will turn to Psalm 121, John Mark read this for us just a moment ago in our scripture reading, and that's the text I'd like to use for our lesson this morning. I read this psalm this past week while sitting in the hospital room in the middle of the night, and after the doctor had come in barging in about 11 o'clock, expecting everybody to be awake and alert, I don't know why, but I read this psalm, and I found in it, it's a message of hope. It's a message of strength, and I think most of all, it's probably a message of comfort. As we experience this thing that's called life, we know that many times there are difficult and uncertain and unexpected things that maybe, you know, whatever they may be, cause us to lay in bed and stay awake at night. Because we have anxieties or worries about things. It happens as part of life. And sometimes maybe as we experience these things, we wonder just how am I going to get through this? How am I going to be able to make it through? And when I read Psalm 121, I think it answers the question that how we can get through these trying and difficult times that often we face in our lives. So I'd like to share a few thoughts about Psalm 121 with you this morning. First of all, in verse 1 and 2, it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help? My help from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Notice the first thing it says there is, I will lift up my eyes. I think many times when we face some difficult and trying times in our life, maybe we don't look up. Maybe we're looking downward, and it causes us to become discouraged or depressed. And we have the woe is me, poor me, why is this happening to me attitude that causes us to really become even more discouraged and uncomfortable in those trying times. And when we go through those trying and difficult times, this though tells us that we need to have our eyes focused upward, where the Lord is. Have our eyes focused on Him. Lift our eyes up to God. You know, you think about it, when you go through difficult times, we look for someone who can help us. If it's a physical problem, you'll go to a doctor and see if that doctor can help you. If it's a spiritual issue, maybe you go to the elders and you want their help and their prayers on your behalf. Maybe there's emotional issues, and maybe it's a professional help you need from a counselor or a psychologist or something like that. If it's a legal issue, go to an attorney, a lawyer, to help you out with those problems. Financial issues, you find maybe somebody who's a financial planner that will help you with those problems. We understand that in those difficult times, we go and we find someone who can help us. And I believe God does work through different people to help us in His providence, but at the same time, I think that when we face the really difficult issues in our life, we need to understand the limited nature of man and the unlimited power of God. There's no limit to the help that God can ultimately give us. And we need to look up to Him. We need to talk to God through prayer, no matter what issues that we're facing in our life, no matter what difficulties and trying times that we have in our life, we need to be looking to God. Look to Him through prayer. Listen to God through reading and meditating upon His Word. That's how we communicate with God. And so during those trying and difficult times that we face in our life, it's important that we have that communication with our Lord, that we pray to Him, that we listen to Him through His Word. Because ultimately, God is our greatest helper. Remember when Peter stepped out of the boat to walk on the water to Jesus? Jesus came and there was a storm going on. They were scared and Peter steps out. He wants to come and walk to Jesus. And Peter, for a moment, walked on the water with Jesus, but very quickly, he took his eyes off the Lord. He lost his focus, and as a result, he began to sink. He no longer was walking on the Lord because instead of focusing on the Lord, he was focused on the wind and the waves around him. He was focused on the storms around him. And as a result, he began to sink. And then it was when he refocused on the Lord and said, "Lord, save me." And remember, the Lord reached out and he saved Peter. You know, I think there's a lot of symbolism in that for us. Because, you see, when we take our focus off the Lord, we then begin to focus on the circumstances around us. And when we lose that focus on the Lord, that's when we start to sink. That's when we start to sink into discouragement. We start to sink into depression. We start to sink into feeling sorry for ourselves. And we have to realize we need to focus back on the Lord. Sometimes we find ourselves needing to shout out, "Lord, save me." And get that focus back on Him. But at the same time, we shouldn't just wait until those difficult times to be calling out to the Lord to help us. And many do that, I think. When times are good, maybe we forget God a little bit. We don't really think as much about how important prayer is to us. Maybe we lose that when things are going well. But when crisis hits, then we start thinking, "I really need God." You know, the example of Daniel, I think, is a great one in the Old Testament. You know how Daniel was praying. He prayed 3 times a day, and he was in a habit of doing that. You see, he didn't just pray when he found himself in the den of lions. He was praying all along. And that's really, I think, what prepared him to make the stand for the Lord that he did, even when his life was threatened. I'm sure Daniel was praying when he was in that den of lions, and God ended up delivering him, but it wasn't that he waited until he was put in that difficult situation to pray. No, he already had that communication with the Lord. It was something that he was already in the habit of doing. And so it's important for us to lift up our eyes to the Lord. He is our helper. Going back to this psalm again, it's Psalm 121. In verse 3, he says, "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day or the moon by night." He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper. When we experience difficulties, there's a sense of uneasiness. There's a sense of stress, and there's a sense of anxieties. Our routines change. Our lives are interrupted. Those times are kind of like stumbling around in the dark. You don't know what's going to hit you next. And you have that unsure feeling. As it says here, he will make sure your foot doesn't move or slip. You know, you stumble around in the dark, you're afraid you're going to trip over something you're not going to see. You're unsure about what's going on. How long am I going to go through this? What if things don't get better? What if my situation doesn't change? What if it doesn't improve? But here's the comfort that we have when those uneasy and unsure feelings are kind of flooding us with the circumstances that we're facing. This psalm tells us the Lord is our keeper, and He will not allow us to fall. He will not allow our foot to be moved. He will keep watch over us day and night. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He's always there watching over us. You know, I was at the bedside of Dad here this past week, and I know a lot of you have experienced that before. Having a loved one that's sick and in the hospital, and during the day, of course, they need something. You get up, you get it for them. If they're thirsty, you get them some water. If they're in pain, you go and find the nurse to see if they can give them something to help them. At night, while they sleep, you don't. Or if you do, it's maybe very light sleep because you want to still be aware in case they need something. You keep watch for them. And that's what God really does for us constantly. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He keeps watch and He sees and He's waiting for the things that we need to supply those things for Him, for us when we ask. That's what He does. And so as we maybe understand that, keeping watch over someone in that way, that's what God is constantly doing for us. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He's always watching over us. The Lord keeps watch for us. He is our keeper. He watches for His people in all circumstances at all times. There's never a time, never a time when God is not watching over us. So no matter how uneasy we feel, no matter how alone that we may feel, no matter what situation that we find ourselves in, we're truly never alone because God is always, always watching over us. Day and night, He does not sleep, He does not slumber. Latter part of verse 6 there says, "The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, the moon by night." He's our shade in the daytime. He's our shelter at night. That's what God does for us. I love that imagery of God being a shade for us. But it's hot like it is today and the sun's out and you find a little, you're out and maybe you're working in the sun, you find that little bit of shade, that little bit of coolness and a little bit of comfort. Just think how comforting and relaxing that can be when you find that shade. You know, especially to those that lived in the part of the country that most of the people during the Bible times did, this might mean a little bit more to them even than it does us. We have a lot of shade trees around here. Out in some of the desert roads and country that they had, there are not a lot of shade trees out in there. And it gets very, very hot in that part of the world as well. Remember when I had the opportunity to tour Ephesus, and it was a great experience, but it was hot. They even told us before, you might want to take hats or maybe even an umbrella to shade you from the sun because shade trees were few and far between. And so when you do find that little bit of shade, man, it's valuable. Man, it feels so good just to have that little bit of comfort from the scorching sun that beat down upon you. And so we see that when the trials of this life, when they're beating down on us, when they're scorching us like the sun, God is the one there to protect us, to comfort us, to put that shade over us from those things that are beating down upon us. I think it's wonderful imagery that the psalmist uses there. So the Lord's my helper, He's my keeper, and we've touched on this a little bit, but going in verse 7 and 8, it talks about the Lord being our protector. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even and forevermore. You know, God protects us physically. He shall preserve you from all evil. The NIV translates that, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life." That's what God does for us. I believe the providence of God in our life. I believe He acts to help us in many, many ways. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, think it really speaks to the providence of God and how He will act in our life if we put Him first. It says, beginning at verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what will you put on? Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." I think the message there is, put God first, and you're going to have the things that you need. Now, it may not be everything that you want. That's different. But you'll have everything that you need. God will make a way for you to have those things. He will protect us physically when we put Him first in our life. We have to have faith in that. Notice He says, "Oh, you of little faith," the ones that didn't believe in that. But when we trust God, put our faith in Him, He's going to give us a way to have the things in this life that we need. He will protect us physically. But He's also going to protect us spiritually. He'll preserve your soul, the psalmist writes. Paul asks a question over in Romans 8 and verse 35. He says, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then a few verses later, he goes on to really boldly answer his own question. In verse 38, he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Like a shepherd protects his sheep, the Lord loves us and He protects us. And nothing can separate us from the love that He has for us. And not only that, the psalmist also ensures us that God protects us for eternity. The Lord, he says, shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Referred to Daniel earlier, you probably remember Daniel had three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Wilson made reference in his article in the Bulletin today to those three. Great minds working together here, I guess. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they also had a challenge before them. The Lord here, as we see, it says that He will protect us forevermore. You may remember the story that King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to bow down and worship his idols. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to do that. And the answer that they gave King Nebuchadnezzar back in Daniel chapter 3, the answer that they gave him after they refused to worship the king's idols, in verse 17 and 18, it says, "If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." They had faith that God would deliver them physically. And as we said, God does protect us physically. But they even went as far to say, even if God doesn't spare their lives, even if God sees fit not to, notice they say, if not, they're still not going to worship those idols. I think something that these men understood was they had the protection of God not only in this life, But even through death, they had the protection of God through eternal life. That's what they understood. They had faith that God would deliver them and save their lives, that He was going to be with them, but they knew, and I think it's evident from this statement that they made, that even if their lives would not be saved, God would still be with them. That even through the physical death of the body, God would protect them through the eternal life of the soul. And that needs to be the perspective that we have. That God's going to protect us eternally. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now Christ will also be magnified by body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is to Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." I think there's a great message from Paul with that same perspective as well. He understood there was more than this life. There was something better that was awaiting him. An eternity with the Lord, under the protection of God forever. A powerful message of hope that we have, not only through this psalm, but from the words of Paul as he writes here in Philippians chapter 1. So the Lord is our helper. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord is our protector. Wilson said I could preach on the five things I learned at the hospital. Well, those were three things I learned while sitting in the middle of the night in the hospital. The other two was that the free coffee is terrible, which I think is a conspiracy, so you will go buy the good coffee. And then, as I said before, doctors have no sense of time. I guess that might be the fifth thing that I learned. But anyway, the message of this psalm, sometimes I think it's something that I think has been an important message to me, especially this week. And no matter what you're going through in this life, you know, I understand, you know, this has been stressful for me and my family, but it's just something that everybody is going through. Everybody has their own struggles. Everybody has their own things that are happening. And it's times that we really need to rely and trust on God. The message of this psalm, I think, is something of one that is encouragement. I know it was to me. Hopefully it's an encouragement to you as well. Whatever you're going through, to understand that whatever it is that we face in this life, God will get us through it. I'm reminded of Romans the 8th chapter, verse 28, and I'll close with this verse because I think it's one that is one of encouragement and comfort to us. It says that we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. One way or another, it's all going to work out. Because one day or another, if we are truly faithful in God, in the end, we will all be standing with Him forever. And that should be the goal that keeps us going, to get us through whatever we face in this world, knowing it's only temporary and there's an eternity to come. If God takes you to something, He's going to get you through it. And that's the message, I think, of comfort we receive. If there's any here this morning who are not Christians, as we sing the song of encouragement, we invite you to consider your need to obey the Lord, to have Him as the one who is your keeper, your protector, and ultimately your Savior, the one that can bring salvation to you so that He will be with you for an eternity. And you can be with Him for that eternity. If you've never obeyed the gospel, repent of your sins and be baptized this morning. Maybe as a Christian you've been unfaithful to the Lord and you need to repent and turn back to Him. Repent of those sins. Ask Him to forgive you. If we can encourage you and pray with you this morning, if you have that need, whatever it is, make those wishes known while together we stand and sing.